Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, Hillary Clinton, presidential candidate for the Democratic nomination, proposed Obama for the appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court after he leaves the presidency. Of course, some people, political cognoscenti, think this is another Clinton con. I don't know if she went back through American history. At the turn of the 19th century, William Howard Taft, who succeeded Teddy Roosevelt. William Howard Taft was from the famous Taft family, a dynasty of Republicans in Ohio. William Howard Taft always wanted to be Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, but he was president. And after he was going to run for re-election, but Teddy Roosevelt thought he was weak on corporations and that sector of the economy. And so Howard Taft just stewed. And later, he was appointed, got what he wanted, to be Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's the only case in American history where a former president became Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, William Randolph Hearst, it's his birthday today, excuse me, and he was a political candidate, and he was, I guess you would call him, a moderate liberal. And here he is. Here's a rare audio extract from our archives where he rails against higher taxes.
My friends, this whole system of income taxation has degenerated into a racket. The sooner this impudent, intrusive, despotic, discriminatory, and perhaps revolutionary system of taxation is repealed, the better it will be for the honesty, the industry, the wealth, and the welfare.
Now, he had a high-pitched voice. He did run, I think, for governor of New York. Orson Welles did a parody fictionizing Hearst's life as publisher, and did this little we have this little excerpt from Citizen Kane from part of our archives when Kane talks about newspapers.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
George, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this Armadas off the Jersey
Hello,
coast.
Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can you
Payne.
Prove it isn't?
This just
Mr. Bernstein,
in.
I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just follow
How do you
it,
do, Mr. Thatcher?
Leland.
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian. We have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Inquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop.
Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
No, send it right away.
I came to see you about this campaign of yours. It's an Inquirer campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges. You remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes.
That you are
Mr.
yourself
Thatcher.
One of the largest individual stockholders in the public transit company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to Tuffy. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's
On the other hand, I am the publisher of the Inquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy. Don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This Inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Yeah, no, that was a fictionalized life of William Randolph Hearst by Orson Welles. And, of course, the film was banned in theaters that Hearst could influence. But this, it's interesting that he started out, I guess, as a moderate liberal, ended up being reactionary. If you ever get to California, you must go make reservations to go to San Simeon, the great castle, which is unfinished. All the collections of art and sculpture. It's a beautiful place designed by one of the best women architects, Julia, I forget her last name. Anyway, it's now part of the California park system, state park system. You must make reservations. It's well worth it. You can't see it all in one visit. And of course, we were there. And of course, they were quite taken with who accompanied us. Now, Hearst. Another thing that's not known about Hearst regarding his public concern. He supposedly got San Francisco to provide public ambulances. Also. The government after World War II did not want to give the veterans, returning veterans, veterans benefits. Every war from the Civil War, World War I, up to World War II, the government always reneged on giving veterans benefits. And it was Hearst sent out the order to editorialize in his newspapers that the Congress should be pressured to grant the veterans benefits so the returning veterans who had their schooling interrupted or couldn't go to school because they were drafted and had to fight the wars, that they would have the GI Bill, and that he should be credited for that. Unfortunately, one of the people connected to his papers, Walter Winchell, scumbag, he lied about Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness had nothing to do with the taking down of Al Capone. He was a little accountant from the Justice Department, the Treasury Department in the Hoover administration. Ira Ury. I remember when I worked in the federal courthouse in Chicago, when I was just a student, 18 years old, and I knew all these judges and the survivors of the Al Capone prosecution and other mafia and also espionage things. Anyway, Walter Winchell was beating the drums to prosecute Tokyo Rose. Now, Tokyo Rose was the name of a bunch of women who spoke English. They were Japanese and Japanese ethnicity, American citizenship. And Rose DiAquino, who I later met after she got out of prison, and who I also, when I was working with the ACLU, independently investigated part of her case, the Justice Department part. And they didn't want to prosecute her, but it was Walter Winchell and the Hearst papers that beat the drums and the American Legion that wanted this woman prosecuted, when in fact she really wasn't a traitor. And there were other women, in fact Americans and Australians, who made broadcasts to the GIs. That's part of the scandal. But Rose DiAquino was sentenced here in San Francisco, interestingly, by another judge who was from Ireland, similar to the Kevin Ryan scandal. And she got, I think, a $10,000 fine and I think 5 years in federal prison. And, of course, after she got out, she set up her Taguri import section store in Chicago, and that's where I met her. That's one of the interesting things. Now, here's a citizen came breakfast with his wife. It's quite interesting, showing how he had transformed from a liberal into a reactionary.
School, very nice girl, very nice. Family was a little nicer. Well, after the first couple of months, she and Charlie didn't see much of each other except at breakfast. It was a marriage just like any other marriage.
Even newspaper men have to sleep.
I'll call Mr. Bernstein, having put up my appointments until noon. What time is it?
Oh, I don't know. It's late.
It's early.
Charles, do you know how long you kept me waiting last night while you went to the newspaper for 10 minutes? What do you do on a newspaper in the middle of the night?
Emily, my dear, your only correspondent is the Inquirer.
Sometimes I think I'd prefer a rival of flesh and blood.
Oh, Emily, I don't spend that much time on the newspaper.
It isn't just the time. It's what you print, attacking the president.
You mean Uncle John?
I mean the president of the United States.
He's still Uncle John. He's still a well-meaning fathead who's letting a pack of high-pressure crooks run his administration. This whole oil scandal.
He happens to be the president, Charles, not you.
That's a mistake that will be corrected one of these days.
Your Mr. Bernstein sent Junior the most incredible atrocity yesterday, Charles. I simply can't have it in the nursery.
Mr. Bernstein is apt to pay a visit to the nursery now and then.
Does he have to?
Yes.
Really, Charles? People will think...
What I tell them to think.
With her? Citizen Kane is one of the all-time great films, and film aficionados, they always bring this film up as one that they would take to a desert island. Now, also on this day, we have another high-powered political personality, Princess Diana. After she divorced Charles, she had an affair with Mohammed Fayed, a Muslim, who also was so wealthy he bought the best store in London, Harrods. And, of course, there was a fear that she would marry this guy and also produce an heir, a male, well, either a female or a male heir, because there would be a question about succession to the British throne. And so the question was, that accident in the tunnel, or that collision in the tunnel in Paris, was it an accident or something else? Also, talking about the French, French Field Marshal Alphonse Juin was one of the Algerians who became a French military leaders, very good at World War II. He was also involved in the Vietnam French Indochina Wars, as that's what it was called then. And he opposed De Gaulle, who wanted to give the Algerians their freedom. And, of course, he was one of those, as Algeria is French, and they fought, several of the French generals revolted against the De Gaulle administration. But De Gaulle ultimately won, even though they attempted to assassinate him. Now, if you're coming to San Francisco, even if you come later after the Super Bowl 50, here are some tips for your personal safety and property protection. Again, have a good cell phone with a backup battery that is charged. Do not use your cell phone or text while you're on the street. Pay attention to what's around you, because you'll get mugged and ripped off, and there's very little police can do about it because it goes on so often. If you're in a crosswalk, do not use those devices. If you're driving a car or on a bicycle or a motorcycle, do not use those devices. If you rent a car or you bring your own car, do not leave personal property in plain view. Lock it up in the trunk. If you don't need to bring it in your car, don't bring it at all, because there have been trunk break-ins, and they will break windows. You can go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site to see what San Franciscans call the urban tags. That's car break-ins, and it's facilitated more and more by these bicyclists. We happened to catch one in the act, and he dropped his window breaking tool, which we have now, and we advised the police. Also, Northern California has an increasing epidemic of reckless bicycling, motor vehicle driving, and motorcycle driving that they don't pay attention. Bicyclists are particularly arrogant. They're involved in all this, what is seen as influence peddling to get these expensive bicycle lanes and to take away parking. They don't pay any taxes. They don't carry insurance. When they injure or kill somebody, they're not held accountable financially. And people are getting tired of these two-wheeled terrorists. So we'll be back. We'll start at our usual time, 4 o'clock on Friday, Pacific Standard Time. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker. Sorry we had to start late. And also we have a lot of stuff we're going to be putting up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. Excuse me. And we hope to have our correspondent from Cook County, Pat Butler, who will give us an update on what's going on in the most interesting politics in America. I always said that. There where graft is honest, and there's none of this, we're helping poor little animals, poor AIDS victims, poor, what do we call it, undocumented immigrants, which is another political fiction. So here we go with politics and poker. I should say fiction, too.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, shove them up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick.
office. Politics or poker, which is more important?
Little trays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try, Michael, when you think of it, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
This is Peter Paul Mazzola. We'll be back Friday, Pacific Standard Time, at 4 p.m. drive time, and we hope won't be any problems like we had today. So stay safe and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and also we will have posted up there video of how you can protect yourself, your person, and your property if you're coming to Northern California, especially San Francisco, where it's anything, the city where anything goes, has and does, and also we're in an epidemic of reckless bicycling, motor vehicle driving, and motorcycling. So stay safe, and if you come, also if you run out of money, there we'll publish where you can get free food. There's so much food in this town, you wouldn't believe it. So this is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.